Dan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, round two in the fight against the president's unconstitutional executive action.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. Dan Bennett in Washington, D.C. I'm going to go right to Jay Sekulow, who's joining us by phone. Jay, we got big news a couple of days ago in this case that we are involved with, involving the President Obama's executive actions on immigration. This is an issue that you testified in front of the House Judiciary that we represent 68 members of Congress. And Jay, this was a big victory for limiting the scope of executive power in this case.
Well, I think probably the most significant victory, certainly in the district court level, that we've seen on this. And as I said yesterday on the broadcast, and people need to understand this, this is something we've been working on. As soon as the president took the executive action or executive memorandum that he put together, trying to change the immigration law without congressional approval, we were within weeks before the Judiciary Committee of the United States House of Representatives. In fact, we're going to be playing a portion of that testimony coming up so you get a historical perspective on that. But then at the same time, we went to court. When the states filed, we filed a brief representing 68 members of Congress, as well as two of those members, by the way, are the senators from Texas, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, as well as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And the end result was we got a 123-page order from the court that basically says everything we alleged in our testimony before the United States House, that, in fact, the president did not have this authority. This is a huge check on presidential authority. We've called this, we've said this before, impatient presidents don't get to just change the law on their own. The president had a big rebuff here, and word came yesterday late that, in fact, there's not going to be an expedited appeal. They're going to appeal it, but they're not taking up an emergency order. But that means the appeal is going forward, and that's where we need everybody's help to sign on to our brief on the appeal, because that is the next move here.
Yeah, and Jay, so much of that hearing that you appeared at was about this exact question. This was not about the merits of immigration policy. In fact, as you said at that hearing, there are many forms of immigration reform that you are in favor of. There are even portions of, you know, this policy area that you might agree with the president on. This was about separation of powers. This was about whether or not Congress had granted the president the authority to do what he did. It's pretty clear in this case Congress had not granted that authority. The president moved ahead anyway. And Jay, I thought one of the things that was so important about this ruling is Judge Hannon spent 123 pages outlining that exact case. Again, not on the merits. He spent 123 pages articulating how Congress had specifically not granted the president the authority to move forward in this area.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Fan. I mean, the fact is that this was a question of presidential authority or lack of presidential authority and the separation of powers. The president doesn't get to operate as a king. He said that. She quoted that back in the opinion, and the fact is, without question, this was a stinging rebuke. But folks, here's what we need everybody to do. We now know it's going on appeal. We've got a brand new petition that we've started, or really a new committee that's going to handle this appeal. Fan's going to give you that information in a moment, but let me urge everyone that's listening to sign on to this new committee so you can be part of this historic appeal.
Folks, this is exactly why we act in these cases. This is about more than immigration. This is about how much authority the executive, the president of the United States, is to have. And our founders were very clear. When it comes to making new law, that power rests with the Article I branch, the legislative branch. This is a significant victory for that separation of powers. But there's going to be an appeal. This fight is not over. The president and the administration are certainly going to push back. We need you to stand with us in this next stage of the fight at the appeal stage. You can do that by adding your name to this committee by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at aclj.org. Remember, we represent 68 members of Congress, including both Texas senators and the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. This is the big deal, folks. 877-989-2255 is the number to add your name to this committee. Do it now.
Send in the congregation. Generation.
It's a significant victory. A federal court has ordered President Obama's illegal immigration order to be put on hold. The court concluded that this was an unconstitutional overreach by the president, something we have argued from the very start. The ACLJ filed a critical amicus brief in the case, representing 68 members of Congress and more than 70,000 Americans who are standing with the ACLJ in court. The argument is clear. President Obama's actions not only violated the law, they violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about this great ruling we got out of Texas, folks, where the U.S. District Court Judge Andrew Hannon has ruled against the president. Folks, he has ruled with us, with all of you who added your name to the brief that we filed at the court opposing the president's unconstitutional actions in the area of immigration. He has said, he has sided with the states. He has said this imposes a burden on the states. The president did not have the authority to act in the manner that he did. That power resides in Congress. He has issued a preliminary injunction in that case. Essentially what that means, folks, the president's actions are not allowed to move forward, and this comes at a very critical time. At the end of this month is the deadline for issuing the Department of Homeland Security appropriations. That is really where the crux of this debate was happening, folks. There was a debate on whether or not to fund the government, to fund the Department of Homeland Security over these actions. The judge's ruling coming down in advance of that deadline is a significant victory. We are grateful to all of you for standing with us, but there's going to be a round two, and we need you to join with us in that round two. That will be an appeal by the president, by the administration, of this ruling that came on Monday. If you want to stand with us in that appeal, the number to call is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org. Folks, I want to take you back to when Jay appeared in front of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, really beginning the fight against the president's actions. He laid out the constitutional argument against the president having this authority, and I wanted you to hear from some of this sound because it really lays the foundation for this legal debate that's been taking place. This is Jay in front of the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Sekulow, welcome.
Chairman Goodlatte, Ranking Member Conyers, distinguished members of the committee, on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice and over 75,000 of our members, thank you for allowing me to appear before you today. Determining presidential authority is a task which must be engaged in with only one question. Does the president's actions meet constitutional scrutiny? In this case, they do not. It is humbling for this grandson of a Russian immigrant to be before this committee today. My father is in the audience. His father, my grandfather, came to the United States in 1914. In 1929, he applied for citizenship, filed a petition for naturalization. My daughter-in-law found this online. 2 years later, a United States District Court judge in Brooklyn, New York, granted Sam Sekulow his status. She found that order as well. I believe in immigration. I'm the grandson of that Russian immigrant. I've got to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States and appear before this committee. It's a humbling thing. Immigration law was complex for my grandfather in 1931, and it is still complex today. The Constitution, however, is not. Our system of government is straightforward. Congress writes the law, the president executes the law, the judiciary interprets the law. This is the separation of powers mandated by our Constitution. The president does not make the law. Now, with due respect, some of the statements that have been made, the president has stated that he changed the law. And I don't believe there's anyone on this committee that believes the president has the authority to change the law. He was being heckled at an event, similar to what we experienced today. There's passions on the side of the issues. I understand. I think we all understand that. I joined Professor Rotunda, and I believe in significant and complete immigration reform. I believe in a pathway to citizenship. But I believe to do that through the legal process set forth in the Constitution. And the president doesn't get to change the law. He actually said that, though, that he changed the law. That was how he handled the question that was asked. He changed the law. Presidents cannot change the law. He can't do so constitutionally. He cannot do so under Supreme Court precedent. He can't change the law to comport with his preferred public policy, much of which I share. The president's executive action really disrupts the delicate balance of separation of powers that is the hallmark of our constitutional framework. Justice Frankfurter stated that regarding immigration and immigration issues, talking about being the exclusive power of Congress, that the formulation of these policies is entrusted exclusively to Congress. Now, 5 and 5 does not equal 15, no matter how many times you say it. And when 5 and 5 then equals 10, which is correct, that past constitutional wrong is not what made that correct. So this reliance that we've seen on some that President Reagan and President Bush and even President Eisenhower made or issued executive action or executive orders, which in some cases may be clearly distinguishable because they didn't set forth a new class, but even if they were not distinguishable, past constitutional acts do not get better with time. They are still just that, unconstitutional actions. President Obama also misplaces his reliance on the authority generally granted to the Secretary of Homeland Security. It's very different to utilize your resources to determine the status of your prosecutorial mandates and how you're going to use your limited resources. The condition of entry, though, of classes of aliens and having that denied or granted and creating a class, a new class, is not what the president has the authority to do. As sympathetic as it might be to the plight of people involved, he simply doesn't have that constitutional authority. And I think that with all the emotion we've even seen today, you have to put that aside. The question does, it comes back to the same question. Does the president have the authority? And by the way, if you look at the OLC memo and compare it to what the president said the deal was, quoting the president's word of what the deal is, I'd ask my colleague from the Immigration Law Center if she would recommend her clients accept the deal. Because the deal the president talked about did not talk about unfettered discretion with the agency that could be terminated at any time with case-by-case determination. That's not the deal the president talked about. That's not the deal the president put in place. And I would not recommend my client to accept the deal that the president has actually offered, which is very different than the deal outlined in the OLC memorandum. I would ask that to my colleague because standardless, absolute discretionary review by government agencies has been something I've been dealing with for 30 years at the Supreme Court of the United States. And it just generally does not go very well for the agency. OLC said it was required, though, for the president's actions to be deemed constitutional. As I said, I would not recommend my client to take the deal. In conclusion, in our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
What I would like to do is ask a couple of questions. First of all, why do you think the president on 22 occasions said that he didn't have the power to do what he did and then did a 180?
I think the president was correct when he said he could not make the law or change the law. He was speaking correctly. I think when he made the statement that he has changed the law, he recognized also that he did something. He thought he changed the law. He doesn't think, by the way, it was simply a policy decision. He stated he changed the law. And I don't, as I said in my testimony, Congressman, I don't believe there's anybody on this committee that believes the president has the authority to change the law. He knew he did not when he made the statement 22 times, and then he changed the law.
Okay.
He doesn't get to do that.
Now, his own DHS Secretary Jay Johnson has stated there comes a point when something amounts to a wholesale abandonment to enforce a duly enacted constitutional law that is beyond simple prosecutorial discretion. I think that at least three of our witnesses believe that the president has crossed that line. Could you be more specific, Mr. Sekulow?
I'm going to just quote very quickly from the opinion that's been quoted by members of this committee and some of the witnesses, and that is the Cheney opinion. This is the part that's conveniently ignored. Presidential action violates the Constitution, this is the quote, if he expressly adopts a general policy which is in effect an abdication of its statutory duty. And I think that's exactly what's happened here. Okay. President, change the law.
Now, the final question I have, and somebody can step up and be first, is doesn't a wholesale application of prosecutorial discretion to thousands or millions or maybe several millions of people amount to a repeal of a duly enacted law? And does the president have the power to do that through prosecutorial discretion?
The president, Mr. Congressman, the president could and certainly could pardon people. Prosecutors exercise discretion on a case-by-case basis every time. What you don't see, you do see a situation where someone's alleged violations of SEC laws and there's a prosecutorial decision made to not move forward on that case. That's called prosecutorial discretion. What you don't see is a decision being made, we're not going to enforce the SEC laws in the United States. That would be rewriting the laws, which a president or the executive can't do.
Folks, after this break, you will hear more from Jay's testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee. But if you want to stand with us in this brief, defending this ruling that just came out of the state of Texas, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at ACLJ.org. This is about separation of powers and making sure we do not have an executive that can write the law. 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It's a significant victory. A federal court has ordered President Obama's illegal immigration order to be put on hold. The court concluded that this was an unconstitutional overreach by the president, something we have argued from the very start. The ACLJ filed a critical amicus brief in the case, representing 68 members of Congress and more than 70,000 Americans who are standing with the ACLJ in court. The argument is clear. President Obama's actions not only violated the law, they violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We are going to jump right back into this sound from Jay appearing before the United States House Judiciary Committee. Chairman Bob Goodlatte of this committee was one of the lead signers on our amicus brief that was filed in this case, along with both Texas Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz. Of course, we were victorious in that case. Late Monday, the ruling came from the district court in Texas. There will be a round two, but I want to play this some more of this sound from you. The beginning of this debate, this is Jay before the United States House Judiciary Committee.
Now, the Family Fairness Program, I understand that President Bush covered about 42% of the undocumented population. The Obama administration, this executive order covers about 35%. Can you explain, Mr. Secklow, how President Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush, can you remind us how they can do something? But all of a sudden, President Obama can't do essentially the same thing?
As I said in the written testimony, Congressman Scott, and as I said in my opening statement, I don't believe that President Bush, President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama have the constitutional authority to do what they did. And the fact that it's been done for four administrations and over 25 or 30 years, as I said, constitutional violations don't get better with time. I mean, there's some have argued that there's statutory determination, you know, distinctions that are at play here. I don't take that position. I take the position that if you look at it just constitutionally, was there a constitutional basis upon which those actions were taken? And I'm frankly, I don't see it. And I'm sympathetic to what they were doing. It's just I don't see it to be done that way. And this percentages should make no constitutionality is not determined by the percentage of violation. If there's a violation of 1%, it's as bad as a violation of 99%.
Is there any constitutional legal distinction from a general deferment and a country-specific action?
Yes, because of the president's inherent, the Supreme Court has recognized this, his inherent ability to deal with matters of foreign affairs and national affairs of the country.
And if there is a violation, who has standing to complain?
The great question.
Good.
The standing question. You know, I think some of the states are going to try to have standing in this particular case. Standing's always a difficult in these kind of challenges.
If the president had just done it without talking about it, what would be the result there?
He would have been found out. You can't do it to 4 million people. And I'll be, again, brutally honest here, as someone who's in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, as a lawyer, I would not recommend my client take a deal where their status is revocable at any time at the agency's discretion. So maybe he would have done it. I question how many people are going to actually take part in this.
You're familiar with the Youngstown versus Ohio case.
Yes.
Is there any question in anyone's mind whether or not the basic question of the president is relying on his constitutional authority and not on any statutory authority in this case?
Well, he believes he's relying on his constitutional authority. Under Youngstown Steel, I don't think he meets that standard at all. Be at the lowest ebb, they said.
But presuming that he does.
Yeah.
Presuming that he is relying, clearly not on the intent of Congress,
right.
Clearly when he talks about work permits and so on, going well beyond any of the other witnesses.
Okay.
If the president decided to expand his current definition to include all persons with health issues, would there be any difference in that basis? If he decided, and I'll go through a quick series, if he decided that any person who had a means of support, any person who had gainful employment, any person who had a life-threatening disease, any person who was unable to find a job in their home country, any person who, in fact, had been here more than 5 years, period, wouldn't all of those arbitrary categories be just as binding and just as legitimate as the one that he has created in order to create roughly 5 million or almost half of all illegals becoming legal?
If the president's constitutional analysis was correct, that would be correct, Mr. Chairman.
So if we allow this authority to be left unchecked, the president could at any time pick any category, any group of people, and allow them all to stay here simply under the basis that he created a list of requirements that if they met them, they could stay.
Yes, and under his theory, at any time he could change his mind the next day and say, now you all have to leave.
That's the problem.
And let's go into that, because I think for all of you, I want this question. Back in 2003, I authored the Alien Accountability Act. That allowed for a six-year hiatus in deportation of any individuals who came forward, voluntarily submitted themselves, and stood up for a procedure in which they would only be guaranteed a temporary work permit if they could show that they were gainfully employed, and then they would be subject at the end of the 6 years, if not renewed by some other work permit, to then leave. The interesting thing about that was it looks a lot like the President's Act. The difference, of course, is that it would have lasted for more than just a president's time. But in this case, when the president's term expires, the next president can be just as arbitrary, or even this president, as you said, could be just as arbitrary. Right. So the reason I couldn't get a single Democratic co-sponsor, including my dear friend Howard Berman when he was here, was that the interest groups that were just named by my colleague from California all said they'll never sign up for this because, in fact, they would come out of the shadows, expose themselves, and at any time could be deported. From a practical standpoint, are there two truisms, which is one, if you can name this category as broadly as you do, can't you name any category?
Yes.
And two, if in fact you want people to come out and disclose themselves, on what basis would this lack of full force of a binding agreement for more than the whim of the president's next morning coffee, why would this cause people to actually come from the shadow? Lastly, the gentlelady, I want to know if, in fact, if people don't come from the shadows under this act, has the president still given them complete immunity, or is this contingent in any way on whether or not they turn themselves in? Because that's something the president hasn't said. And if somebody hasn't signed up within the period he specified, would they then be subject to deportation?
Well, I would point to the administration's justification under the OLC document, where they say that ultimately that the only way that this is constitutional is that it is revocable at any time. And that your proposal, your legislation, which would have been based on law if passed, would have had a concrete, not only constitutional, but a statutory basis upon which to respond to a real situation. What the president has done, that's why I said if I'm the lawyer representing some of these clients, I would be very hesitant to say come out of the shadows under the whim of what could be changed literally the next day. There's no guarantee in this whatsoever. This does not solve the serious problem that we have in this country on immigration.
Folks, again, that was Jay in front of the House Judiciary Committee from just a few weeks ago. Fast forward to today, and we have a ruling from a U.S. District Court judge blocking the president's initiative. Folks, this is a very important moment in this debate. If you want to stand with us in round two, the number to add your name to that brief is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org. This fight is not over. We have to continue to resist the long arm of the federal government, specifically the executive branch. The number to do it is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org.
Violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Would you say, at least in a short answer, states have at least a good argument for standing on this?
I would say of the potential plaintiffs, they probably have the best argument. But standing is always a difficult task.
Very quickly, also those who are currently legally in line and it's taking forever to process their legal applications, and now the same officers are going to have to deal with the deferred action program. Would they have standing?
Possibly, especially
because they're being hurt. There's damages. That is another legal term. Right. Damages have to be found.
We can't put the security of families at risk by taking away their health insurance, or unraveling the new rules on Wall Street, or refighting past battles on immigration when we've got to fix a broken system. And if a bill comes to my desk that tries to do any of these things, I will veto it.
Four more states have joined Texas in a lawsuit against the president. Attorney General and Governor-elect Greg Abbott sued the federal government over the president's new executive action on immigration. With Arkansas, Michigan, North Dakota, and Oklahoma, 24 states are now fighting this order. Abbott said the plan, which would spare millions of people from deportation, is unconstitutional.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. A federal court in Texas has put a halt to President Obama's executive action. It was an executive memorandum that came out of the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Jay Johnson, on immigration. Remember, this was the expansion of the deferred action for childhood arrivals. This was called DAPA. That's DACA. This is DAPA, which is the deferred action for parents of Americans and lawful permanent residents. It would have expanded the DACA to literally millions of people, about half the number of the 6 million or so the people that are supposedly in the United States illegally. That's if you buy the number that's somewhere around 12 million. This judge has issued an injunction, a temporary injunction, while the case moves forward against this executive action from going into effect. Now, what does that mean? Well, there could be an appeal. This came in a very timely moment. This was late last night. You may have seen it on Twitter or my Facebook page. I posted it immediately. But what it does is stop the administration from putting this into effect, but they can appeal, of course, so this fight is not over. And what happens? Well, this was going to actually start as early as tomorrow. So this could have gone into effect tomorrow. People who were here illegally could have started tomorrow and applying for this deferred action status. And what the judge has done in this case is say basically to President Obama, you don't have the authority to set forward new laws without authorization from Congress, in fact, in direct violation of it, expressly different from what Congress has asked you to do and the laws that are on the books. And then second, which is also very important, that there has to be a temporary injunction here because it affects so many people and the state interest involved. That doesn't mean, however, that this is an issuing on the merits. So this case is not over. We are building a brand new committee right now as we speak, and we want you to be a part of this on the brief. There will be an appeal here. We need to hear from you quickly. We got a big victory here out of Texas. We represent 68 members of Congress and you, and we want to make sure you're represented on the next brief. Again, 26 states, the majority of the states in the country have signed on to this fight. Texas is leading the charge. We represent, among those 68, both senators from Texas, both Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn, and many of you. And we want to make sure you're on this appeal as well. If you want to join that, call our toll-free number now. That's 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign this petition online. That's ACLJ.org, or call now, 877-989-2255. President Obama has been told no, you cannot do this without authorization from Congress by a district court in Texas. The case will move on, but a significant victory, a significant first victory in the fight to stop these unconstitutional executive actions by President Obama and this expansion of power and the violation of the separation of powers. Call now, 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, our toll-free number to call, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a significant victory. A federal court has ordered President Obama's illegal immigration order to be put on hold. The court concluded that this was an unconstitutional overreach by the president, something we have argued from the very start. The ACLJ filed a critical amicus brief in the case, representing 68 members of Congress and more than 70,000 Americans who are standing with the ACLJ in court. The argument is clear. President Obama's actions not only violated the law, they violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. A federal court judge, if you're just joining us, breaking news, late last night, federal court judge in Texas District Court has issued a temporary injunction against the expansion of the deferred action for childhood arrivals. This is President Obama's executive action. Remember, it came from a memo from the Department of Homeland Security. 26 states, including Texas, which has been leading this effort, filed a lawsuit. We represent 68 members of Congress, and you, including those, are the two U.S. senators from Texas. And we know that this is, of course, it's a great first victory. And it's a long opinion, 123-page decision on what happened here and why the judge decided to issue this injunction. And my dad is joining us now. And Dad, this is a big win for those who are again, committed to fighting what is primarily, and if you read through this, it's clear again, it's not about the merits of immigration reform. It's about presidential power, the rulemaking process, the lawmaking process, and whether or not the White House violated that and the administration violated that by this executive action.
Well, I think that the reality is, and for our ACLJ members that are listening right now, this is a huge win in court because this was a check on the president's power. The reality is it does not get into the merits of whether the immigration policy the president was advocating was correct or not. The question really is whether, in fact, the president had the authority to change the law unilaterally, and the court overwhelmingly said, no, they did not. And then further, and I think this is equally important here, said that the president overreached. We've made the statement, and we continue to make it, that impatient presidents don't get to change the law on their own. The president made the statement, I'm sure we have it, where he says, I'm not a king, I can't do this. Well, the court quoted all that back to him. And he now knows he's not a king, and he doesn't get to change the law on his own.
And so, folks, again, it's an opinion, 123 pages here, this decision from the district court judge in Texas, George W. Bush appointee back in 2002, Judge Hanen here in Texas. This was, again, a massive challenge by not just one state, 26 states, the majority of states in the country, along with 68 members of Congress that we represent and so many of you. And we need to, again, hear from you on this because we know that this is going to be appealed. I mean, Dad, this was going to go into effect as early as tomorrow. people could begin applying for this new expansion of what the administration has called deferred action. The judge did not buy that. What the administration has called deferred action, what he has said is more that this is a rewrite of law, that it violates at least, and that's why the injunction was issued, the regular procedures that must be followed to put in new rules by the federal government, even when they have authority to do so, that it didn't even do that, that doesn't meet the exceptions there, but that it goes a step further. You can tell from this judge, he's not saying he's completely made a decision on the merits, but that he really seriously questions whether this administration has the ability under these kind of theories of deferred action and executive authority to enforce the law, whether or not they can take something and do something that's exactly the opposite of the law on the books, which the judge talks about.
Well, remember this. I testified in December before the full Judiciary Committee on this very issue, and the arguments we raised at the Judiciary Committee were the same arguments we put in our brief. That brief, of course, representing both members of the Senate from Texas, as well as Jordan said, 65 other members of the House. And we also represented the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And this is a question of legal authority. Does a president have the authority to change the law on his own? And this court said no. Now, as Jordan said, it's going to be appealed. It's going to be appealed quickly to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So we need to get people signed up for that brief right away to do that. And we want to encourage people actually to sign on again to this committee that's going to file the brief now with the Court of Appeals. And it's not an insignificant challenge ahead, but this is obviously a really great start. So, again, if you want to sign on that brief, you can do it at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And I urge you to sign on to this. I think it's really critical that we hear from everybody that's already signed on to this and those that haven't yet to go ahead and add their name. It really is that critical in this process. And as Jordan said, this is a gigantic win. I mean, this was a direct challenge to the Department of Justice, a direct challenge to the Department of Immigration and Naturalization, the DHS. This was a direct challenge to the President of the United States. And we've got a gigantic decision in our favor on this that I think at the end of the day is going to speak volumes as to who has the authority to, in these situations, make the law. And it's not the president. The court said it's the Congress. And I think this is gigantic for us.
Folks, if you want to add your name to this new brief, and you need to do so today, the White House has already announced that they are going to be making their decision. The Department of Justice is going to appeal. This appeal could reach the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals or even the Supreme Court in the next 24 hours. And so this will be on the appeal on the temporary injunction. But we know that this case is about to get that much more attention, that much more focus in what is already a very busy time at the U.S. Supreme Court coming up this spring. So we want to, again, add as many of you as possible and make sure, as my dad said, that if you joined before, this is a new committee on this brief. So you got to join again. The toll-free number you call is 877-989-2255. We have to build on these victories, build on the momentum. So I encourage you, if you've already joined once, thank you. A great victory. You got to join again, though, because we're in already in round two immediately. That's what happens in these situations. So call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and join the committee online right now at aclj.org. This was my dad testifying at the congressional hearing. You just reference. We're live, folks. I mean, this was just breaking late last night on Monday night, but this was from the hearing. Take a listen, and now we have the 123-page decision from a federal court judge agreeing with our position here. Take a listen, Byte 14.
In our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way.
Folks, so we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Let's go to Jeff calling in from Hawaii online, too. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
This might seem dumb, but my question is I don't watch TV. and I don't read newspapers, so I don't not really know like what this is all about. So I just wanted to, if you could expound on what the president is trying to do in the first place. What is this law about? That's all I wanted to know.
Well, Dad, I mean, Jeff may remember there was first the deferred action for childhood arrivals. That was supposed to help almost 4.4 million people. That was, again, a very limited group that applied here, and that's not an issue in this case. The judge made that clear, even though many people disagreed with that decision from President Obama, that if you came here unwillingly, you know, as a child, and you met certain criteria about education or military service, you could then apply for these deferred actions. This was an expansion to say that if you are a parent of someone who is here legally or a U.S. citizen, so not someone who doesn't have to be a citizen, but a parent of that, then you also can apply for these deferred actions, as well as, and the judge picked up on this, Dad, in the opinion, that basically the administration has said that no one, unless you are a criminal, is going to be deported and not get a deferred action, even if you won't meet the specific criteria, that basically they have stopped enforcing this law.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is there was no underlying congressional authority for the president's action here. This was a policy choice of the president of the United States. The problem with that is, of course, he doesn't have the authority to change the law. And that's exactly what he did here. And the court obviously has agreed with our position on this. But what the challenge is we let a president without authority, with no constitutional authority, make changes as a matter of law. And the answer in a constitutional republic like we live in is absolutely, positively, we do not, and we should not do that. And again, this is really a victory for the American people, and that's why we want to take your calls. Folks, what do you think about the president being called on the carpet, basically, or checkmated by a U.S. District Court judge on his authority? You want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
And remember, folks, President Obama has had difficulty in the past with courts in trying to take these actions on his own. And again, another challenge here. Courts sometimes weary of getting involved, but this judge not. And so, folks, we've got to really build on this momentum and this moment here to say no to this administration, no to this violation of the separation of powers. Add your name to the new committee. This is already going to be on appeal. The Department of Justice has announced that. We'll read the White House statement when we come back. We got to be ready. So if you've already were on this, you got to recall or re-sign. You can sign up at ACLJ.org or by calling our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign up and join the committee online.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It's a significant victory. A federal court has ordered President Obama's illegal immigration order to be put on hold. The court concluded that this was an unconstitutional overreach by the president, something we have argued from the very start. The ACLJ filed a critical amicus brief in the case, representing 68 members of Congress and more than 70,000 Americans who are standing with the ACLJ in court. The argument is clear. President Obama's actions not only violated the law, they violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Now, I do want to set the stage. If you are just joining us, the big news out of Washington, D.C., because a federal court judge has put a halt to President Obama's illegal immigration action. This was the executive action, not technically an executive order. It was President Obama's preferred way, the executive memorandums. This came from the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, and it was instructing basically to stop, you know, to grant everyone deferred action who not only was a child brought here, but a parent of people who were brought here. And that it expanded to where you're talking about half of what is estimated to be the illegal immigrant population in the United States. Now, the issue here is not about immigration reform or what's the right way to reform our immigration system. The issue here is the president's executive power. And can the president and the administration do this, even though it directly conflicts with congressional, you know, the law on the books, not just congressional law, but actual law signed into law by presidents in the past, the immigration laws we have in our country. What a federal court judge said today is that at least it violates the procedural rules that have to go about when there's new rules in place. So it at least does that. Temporary injunction goes into force, and there's a real question about the actual merits as well. Now, this will already get appealed. In fact, there's talk that the White House will appeal this to the Fifth Circuit, just the injunction part. Remember, this has not even moved forward yet on the merits. This was all about the injunction, 123-page decision on the whether or not an injunction should be given here, and it was. And so what happens next? Well, it could go to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, could go to the United States Supreme Court. Why? Because this was a very important time, because as early as tomorrow, people who met this criteria that was the Obama administration came up with on its own without working with Congress. Of course, there's no congressional authorization here for this, no congressional law, that the people could start applying as early as tomorrow. So this came in a very timely moment. I want to take your phone calls now. A big win. We represented. There are 26 states here. We represent 68 members of Congress and so many of you. And including in those 68 are the two U.S. senators from Texas. I want to take your calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Randy in Illinois on line four. Randy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys putting this on the air. The American public, I think, my opinion is the American public has to wake up and realize these guys that are in office right now, they're lying to the public over and over again. They just keep lying to us, and people keep buying it, like as if this guy is really for the underprivileged. It always tends to ricochet back and be worse for the middle class and the underprivileged. But what you guys are talking about with act, you know, the way he's going and just jumping over all the we have rules and regulations in place. Had me or you did this, we would probably be in prison. Obama keeps just disobeying the law and going ahead and passing these executive orders like as if he's a dictator, and it's really scary. And I think it's about time we need to get together and back these people in power that are coming against this evil and be behind them. And I just commend what you guys are doing. Just keep up the great work, because this guy is he's a very good actor. He probably should get the Academy Award, but I don't know about anything else. Impeachment, maybe.
Well, you know, Randy, thanks for your phone call. I think, listen, this is the way you fight back. We have a court system. We have a president who says, I believe I have this authority. He's not violating, by the way. As it said, I'm not going to listen to what the court has to do here. He's going through the normal process. He is appealing it now. This fight continues. And that's an important distinction to make, Randy. I'm glad you brought that up, because the idea is people say, well, now that the court said he's done something illegal, does this mean, you know, he's violated, you know, the articles of impeachment and, you know, he could somehow move forward there? That's not the case. He said, this is what I want to do. Congress, 26 states have said, we don't agree with you here, and you file a lawsuit. The lawsuit, the judge says this. They said, okay, we're going to appeal now. They're not saying I'm going to violate what the judge has ordered. That is a key distinction. But we got to build on this, folks. We need to hear from you. Call 877-989-2255 right now. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let's go to Rick calling from Alabama on line three. Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, Rick, you're on the air.
Yeah, listen, I just want to ask, told them I wanted to ask two questions, and one of them is, why does our government want so many illegal aliens in our country? And second of all, why do they let them run around illegal and not arrest them in our small towns and just let them run free and do what they want to? What's going on? I mean, if I commit a crime, I'm going to jail.
Well, here's what I think, Rick. I mean, this is Jordan Sekulow's opinion. It's not even necessarily ACLJ's opinion. Why do they, I mean, you say the left, I would say, or President Obama, I think it's a long-term political strategy. You know, there's more people that you can say, listen, we're the reason why you got legal status in America. Now, this situation is bizarre because it doesn't grant new citizens, and it doesn't even provide a pathway to citizenship. But a lot of people understand that's kind of bogus and phony long-term here. You're going to have to figure this problem out. Now, there is a real problem with the people who are already here. And I say problem, something that has to be dealt with. This is the wrong way to do it because it's not permanent. It doesn't set up border security. It doesn't set up exactly what happens in the future. It doesn't stop future presidents from saying, no, this shouldn't be the case. That's why this is the wrong way to go about it. And so, folks, again, I want to make sure you understand there's the immigration debate and then there's the executive action issue. And this is about executive action, about presidential power. We still will have to have the immigration debate in our country. We'll still have to figure out the solutions to that. But at the same time, and how we handle the problem with you have upwards possibly 20 million people here illegally, what do you do about that as a nation, and border security as well? I think border security has to come first. Let's go back to the phones quickly to take another call. Daniel in Oklahoma on line six. Daniel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Daniel, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just want to throw my two cents in, and I'm kind of actually going on both sides of the story because we as Americans, the constitutional part of it was brought up about how he violated the Constitution, et cetera, and whatever happened to what's called for the people and by the people? We're always having this Congress and legislatures and law and, you know, the state, the House and what their decisions are and so on and so forth. I mean, but what about us as Americans?
Well, we elect them. Remember, I mean, Dale, we elect every one of these people. We always say elections have consequences here. Now, the congressional makeup is very different than the White House position on these issues right now. Your state legislature is very different. I mean, 26 states signed on to this lawsuit with Texas leading the charge, but that's the majority of states in the country. That's the legislative process. That's we the people. That's fighting back. Folks, if you want to join in, we've got to get ready for this appeal right now. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and join this committee online. Let's be ready to fight at the next level on the appeal, 877-989-2255.
They violated the Constitution. The legal battle continues, though, as the Obama administration plans to appeal. That's why it's vital that we hear from you today. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.